إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear elders and brothers, I remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in relation to the sending of His Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has benefited and sent His ni'mah on the mu'mineen by sending from amongst themselves His Nabi with four related duties. Yatlu alayhim ayatihi, to recite to them the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which are revealed on Him. Wa yuzakkihim, and to purify them. Wa yuallimuhumul kitab, and to teach them the book of Allah. Wal hikmah, and to teach them how to practice whatever that they have learnt, which we know as the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers and sisters and elders, I remind myself and you that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not simply come and wasn't simply sent just to recite the kalam of Allah and go away, and then to leave it to us to understand it whichever way we like, and then to practice it selectively, which may Allah forgive us, this is what we seem to do. And as I have said, selective obedience is disobedience. Because when you are selecting to obey something, you are selecting not to obey something else. So selective obedience is disobedience. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended this ayah by saying that before this, they were, those people were misguided. So four steps that Allah Jalla wa Ala specified, and it's not my intention to go into details about this, but we know that this is the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which Ibrahim alayhi salam made for this ummah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted that dua, but Allah Jalla wa Ala changed the order of the things. So the first part, or the first step of this four-part ni'mah, is to recite the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it was received. To tell the people, to inform the people, to inform the people. And the way I explain these four things, I say to inform, to prepare, to instruct, and to demonstrate. Four steps. So informing the people that this is the kalam which has been received. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once heard a voice reading Quran in his masjid. And he came out and he stood behind a post and listened, while his sahabi Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu was reciting Quran. He was praying nafil and he was reciting Quran. And Abu Musa al-Ash'ari sensed that there is somebody close by, but he was praying, so he didn't know who it was. And then when he finished and he made salam, he turned around and he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam standing behind him. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam blessed him and he said, I was listening to your recitation, which I like very much. And Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, if I had known that you were listening, I would have beautified it even more. Another time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, were in the masjid, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu came and he stood and he started praying and he started reciting Quran. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his two companions, he said, if you want to listen to the Quran the way it was revealed, listen to the recitation of Ibn Mas'ud. And see the beauty of this and see the beauty of the akhlaq and the brotherhood of the Sahaba. Umar ibn al-Khattab went and told Abdullah ibn Mas'ud this thing. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was praising your recitation and this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about your recitation. They did not keep good news to themselves. I'm talking about taking pleasure in reciting the kalam of Allah. Taking joy in reciting the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in this life, this is the closest that we can get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His kalam, by reciting His kalam, by reading His kalam. We cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree that we are among those who will be permitted to gaze upon His glorious countenance on the day when He will permit this, inshallah. But in this dunya, the kalam of Allah is the closest that we can come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, one of the muhajirun and one of the earliest people who entered Islam, his Ansari brother was Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu. And Abbad bin Bishr also was a qari of the Quran. And one day, in one sariya, these two brothers took on the responsibility of guarding in the night while the contingent camped. So they had a pact and they said, Abbad bin Bishr and Ammar ibn Yasir, they said, well, half the night let us, one of us sleep and the other one will guard and stay awake. And the other half of the night, the other person will sleep and this one will guard. And they said, okay. And Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu was tired, so Abbad bin Bishr, he told him, you rest and I will stay awake. And then I will wake you up after half the night. So Ammar ibn Yasir went to sleep. Now see the way the Sahaba utilized their time. Now he has to stay awake to guard. So what does he do? He stands in Salah, Qiyamul Layl. So he says, let me pray. What is the point in simply sitting and being awake? Yeah. Although, as I mentioned yesterday in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the fire of Jahannam haram on the eye which stays awake in protection of the Muslims. So for him to simply stay awake was ibadah. But it is the nature of iman, it is the nature of yaqeen, it is the nature of the desire for the akhirah that you are not satisfied with even a good deed. And we are not even talking about bad deeds. We are talking about good deeds. Even among the good deeds, we seek the one which is the best. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. So Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu is standing up and he is in Salah and he started the recitation of Surah Al-Kahf. Now as he was reciting, one of the enemy, he saw, he was tracking them and he saw that, you know, the camp is sleeping and these two guards, one is sleeping and the other one is standing in Salah. So he came from behind and he fired an arrow. He shot an arrow at Abbad bin Bishr. And the arrow entered him in the side. Abbad bin Bishr continued to recite. Then the enemy shot another arrow. Now he's injured, he's bleeding. He continued his recitation. The enemy shot another arrow. He continued his recitation. The enemy shot a third arrow. And that is when Abbad ibn Bishr radiallahu anhu went into sujood and touched his brother. Ammar bin Yasir woke up and the enemy ran away. And when Ammar bin Yasir woke up, by that time Abbad ibn Bishr had finished his salah and he saw this condition of him. He was grievously injured, he's terribly bleeding. He said, "Why didn't you wake me up? Why didn't you wake me up when you got shot by these arrows?" He said, "I did not want to interrupt the recitation of Quran." He said, "I didn't want to interrupt the recitation of the Kalam of Allah." The love for the Kalam of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yatlu alayhim ayati. And then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the second step. If we want to benefit from the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to prepare ourselves. And what is that preparation? وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ تَزْكِيَةً. Tazkiyah consists of two things. One is the external purification of the body, purification of the clothes, purification of the place. And then it consists of the purification of our amal. To ensure that we eat halal, to ensure that we earn halal, to ensure that our amal are such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them and we always have this concern. To ensure that we never break a sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then a third level, which is tazkiyah inside. Tazkiyatun nafs, tazkiyatun qalb. Purification of the heart. Where even the thoughts and the desires are purified. One is the external body. Second are the amal and aqwal. What we say and what we do. And a third level of purification is inside the body, inside the heart. Purification of the soul, purification of the heart, where even the thoughts that come into our minds, we do not let them to be, we do not allow thoughts which are of things which are prohibited, of greed, of envy, of jealousy, all these emotions of anger for ourselves. All the negative emotions, purifying the self, purifying the qalb from those as well. And this was the tarbiyah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah forgive us. This piece we seem to have completely forgotten and left. Illa mashallah. Of course, there are people, alhamdulillah, who have the tawfiq to do this and they have people to do their islah. But generally speaking, tilawat al-Quran, yes, we do. We focus on the tajweed of the Qur'an and we focus on the recitation of the Qur'an. But tazkiyatun nafs, it has vanished, disappeared. Especially because it is painful. It takes time and trouble. It's part of tazkiyah to wake up early and stand in tahajjud. And that's not easy, we know it's not easy. But if we really desire to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the method that was shown by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I remind myself and you, let us focus on this very, very important activity. Because the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure. And that which is pure does not reside in a place which is not pure. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi was a student of Imam Malik. And Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi had a memory which was, I mean, the Salaf seemed to have these kinds of memories. He is not the only one. But absolutely amazing. Today when we even mention these stories, it almost sounds like fairy tales. You know, you say, how is it possible that someone could have a memory like that? But people had those memories. Imam Shafi'i, when he came as a young boy to Imam Malik, Imam Malik's Ma'mool was that he would give dars of hadith and between Asr and Maghrib, which is quite a long period of time, outside in the sahan of the masjid. And then between Maghrib and Isha, he would give dars inside the masjid. So Imam Malik noticed that there was this young boy who came and he sat at his feet right in front. And when Imam Malik was speaking and giving dars of hadith, this boy was playing in the sand, in the sense that with his finger he was drawing something in the sand. Now Imam Malik was irritated, obviously, because here is this boy who is not apparently not concentrating on what is happening. He seems to be playing in the sand. But of course, he didn't say anything to the boy. Then the adhan for Maghrib, and this was a long period, maybe you know, one hour, maybe 1.5 hours, Allahu Alam. And when the adhan for Maghrib went, and they came inside for Salah, and after Salah, when Imam Malik was sitting down, this boy introduced himself. And he was the boy who would one day be called Imam Shafi. So he introduced himself and he said to him, I have come to be your student. Imam Malik said, sorry, I don't accept you as a student. So he started crying. He said, I have come all the way to be your student. What did I do? I didn't even say anything. I'm just meeting you for the first time and you are rejecting me. Imam Malik said, no. I saw that you were sitting in front of me and instead of concentrating on the dars, you were playing in the sand. And I'm not interested in students who are not serious. Imam Shafi said to him, he said, yeah, Ustad, I was not playing. I was memorizing your dars. So Imam Malik said, Imam Malik must have thought to himself, you know, ye ladka humko goli de raha hai, that this boy is trying to fool me. So he said, memorizing my dars? He said, yes. He said, you mean you memorized my dars? He said, yes. He said, okay, tell me what did I say? Imam Shafi started from Alhamdulillah to the end of the dars, 1.5 hours of whatever Imam Malik said, verbatim he repeated. He had heard it only once. Imam Malik hugged him, he kissed him, and he accepted him as his student. And Imam Shafi was the person who Imam Malik had given ijazah to make fatwa during his life. Now this Imam Shafi, many years later, one day came to his ustad and he said, I have forgotten the Quran. He said, the Quran has left me. The reason I told you the story about memory was that this somebody with a memory like that, when he came to Imam Malik, he was already have his Quran. And someone with a memory like that, Imam Shafi used to say that when I read a book, I cover one page because otherwise I memorize that thing. His memory was like a camera. So he said, I cover one page and I read, otherwise he said, it just gets into my mind. He came to Imam Malik and he said, I have forgotten the Quran. Imam Malik said, what do you mean you forgot? How can you forget the Quran? He said, seriously, the Quran has left me. You know what Imam Malik told him? I'm talking about the importance of Tazkiyatun Nafs. Imam Malik said to him, you have seen something which is prohibited. That is the only way the Quran will leave you. Whenever I hear this story, or whenever I tell this story, I thank Allah Jalla Ala, that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, in Urdu, you know, say, jiske rutbe hai siva, usko siva mushkil hai. He said, the people who have high status with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the standards for them are very tough. And I thank Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that jahilun like me, Allah does not hold me to such standards. Because wallahi, if Allah held me to those standards, I would not be able to recite Surah Al-Fatiha. So Imam Malik said to Imam Shafi, he said, you have seen something which was prohibited. So he said, go and think about what it was, make tawbah to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and inshaAllah, the Quran will come back. Imam Shafi went home and he tried to think. Imagine, first of all, those days were different. Those days were different. People were not exposed like they are exposed today. The level of promiscuity and shamelessness that is there all around us in this world was not there in any case. And then you are talking about people who had tarbiyah, people who were conscious of things. It's not as if they were walking around, you know. No. So he recollected when he thought about it, that he was going in Medina in the marketplace and there was a lady who was getting out of a vehicle, and as she extended her leg to step on the ground, her shin got exposed. And Imam Shafi happened to see it. He didn't go looking for it. He was going and this lady was getting down from the vehicle and her shin got exposed and Imam Shafi happened to see it. And the Quran left him. He made tawbah and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gave it back to him. What do you think we must do? Many times people say, what is the secret of... Somebody asked my Sheikh, Sheikh Wissam al-Baqi in America. They asked him, Sheikh, please teach me, I want to memorize Quran, what is the method? And this man thought he will tell him, you know, read 5 times and follow with the finger and this, all of which, alhamdulillah, methodology. You know what he said? He said, do not look at haram. Do not hear haram. He said, as long as you look at haram, as long as you hear haram, you will memorize Quran. He's asking him, how do I memorize Quran? What does he say? He said, don't look at haram and don't listen to haram. This is the issue of tazkiyah. That is the issue of tazkiyah. I am not going into detail because that's not the purpose of the Fajr reminder. It's just to put little tags for us to think about. So, tilawat al-Quran, loving the recitation of the kalam of Allah. And as I told you yesterday, make this a ma'mool of your, for yourself, that at least one juz of Quran you will read every day. Insha'Allah. And work on the tajweed of the Quran. The Quran, it is the right of the kalam of Allah that it should be recited correctly. And Allah has given this, Allah has made this possible to anyone who makes an effort. You don't have to be born an Arab to do it. You have Arabs who recite wrongly and you have non-Arabs who recite correctly. And vice versa. It's a matter of how much effort you put into it. So no matter which country you come from, no matter what language you speak, tajweed of the Quran is learnable. It is not difficult. And therefore we must make an effort. And the second one is tazkiyah of the nafs. For the kalam of Allah to reside in our heart, that heart has to be pure. And I remind myself and I take encouragement from this and I remind you that Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, as long as we are making an effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives barakah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps. So it's not as if Allah held us to a position where unless the heart was completely pure, we would not be able to recite, then, you know, I don't know what would happen to us. But Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so, but make the effort. Make the effort. Ensure purity of the body. Ensure purity of the aqwal wal amal. And as I told you, purity of the amal consists of ensuring that you do not break the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, all the no lying and cheating and no ghiba and namima and no slandering and all of this. I mean, I don't have to make a list of that. I'm sure all of us know this. And internal purity, purity of the heart. And the two key elements of ensuring that the heart remains pure is what? Do not see haram and do not listen to haram. So, inform and prepare. And the third part is instruct. يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. Think about this. What was there to instruct? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His kalam in Arabic. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reciting to people who, for whom Arabic was their tongue, their mother tongue. What is there to explain? But obviously there was something to explain, otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have said that. There was a great deal to be explained. And that is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do, where he would explain the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us? What is meant by this thing? And the last part, wal hikmah. Having explained, now show. Demonstrate. And the best example of this is the salah. The best example of all these four things is the salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, aqimus salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, aqimu salah. Information has been done. Then what do? Tazkiyah. Go make wudu. Purify yourself. And then third one is, instruction. What is to be done? Aqimu salah, yes. What is salah? Where does salah start? Where does salah finish? What is in between the start and the finish? And as I told you, if we want to use our so-called intelligence, then where would you start salah? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the slave is closest to Allah in sujood. So therefore, in our logic, the place to start salah is in sajda. But actually you start salah in a place which is the furthest away from sujood. The furthest away you can get from sajda is when you are standing. And that is where salah starts. Doesn't start in sajda. Doesn't even end in sajda. So, instruction of how it is to be done. And then, demonstration of that instruction. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni yusalli. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. The salah is a beautiful demonstration of this ayat of the Quran. And that is why I say it so many times. The seerah is the tafsir of the kalam of Allah. Why must we study seerah? Because the seerah is the tafsir of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you read an ayat of the Quran and you say, how do I understand it? Where must you look? In the life of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am saying this, and in every one of these courses I do my best to emphasize the importance of the sunnah. Because my brothers and sisters, this is the biggest fitna that we face today. This is like cutting the roots of the tree from under the ground, which will surely destroy that tree. And in this case, I don't mean Islam. Islam will not be destroyed by anybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected his kalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected his deen. But we destroy ourselves. We destroy ourselves. The sunnah is the tafsir of the Quran. The sunnah is the way of demonstrating what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent in his kalam. Yatlu alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakkihim wa yuallimuhumul kitaba wal hikma wa in kanu min qablu lafi dalalin mubin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if before all of this, you were completely misguided. Therefore, what does it say if somebody wants to ignore this? Or if somebody wants to take a piece out of it? Tilawat al-Quran, very nice, sounds nice. I want to learn, I want to do, I want to listen. But I just heard or recited these ayat of the Quran. Now, application of the ayat, too much trouble. Too much trouble. This is not deen. This is not Islam. Islam is to make effort to tire yourself. अपने आप को थकाने का नाम है अल्लाह की रजामंदी के लिए. To tire yourself in trying to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the meaning of Islam. Not to this minimalist thinking that we have. You know, do the minimum possible. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And that is why this shauk, this desire to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what we have to kindle in our heart. Where you run towards something because you see the beauty in it. You have a desire for it. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to call the salah quratul ayn, what is the meaning of that? Coolness of the eyes means what? Something that he did as a burden, karna, I have to do it, let me complete, if I don't do it, I will be punished. No! Desire for it. Desire for it. And we know, he would stand in salah so long that his blessed feet would be swollen. And when Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha asked him, he said, Ya Rasulullah, you make so much effort, your feet are swollen. He said, and Allah has forgiven your sins? Allah has, you know, future and past and everything. And then what did he say? He said, should I not be a grateful slave? My brothers and sisters and elders, I remind myself and you, and with this we will end. That the purpose of this whole LEC program is for us to try to at least remind ourselves. By no means is the LEC program a program where our entire tazkiyah will be done and so on. As I was saying yesterday, nobody in the times of our salaf, if you said that I took 5 days out for tazkiyatun nafs, people would laugh in our face. Yeah, 5 days, I mean, it was like a joke or what? Huh? Today we think 5 days is so huge. How can I take 5 days out? Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. People spoke in terms of years. They didn't speak in terms of days. In terms of years. And people realized the value of that. Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayh was the youngest vice chancellor of Jamia Nizamiya, and that vice chancellorship came with great honor and waqar, and he had the status of a minister in the Khilafah and money and everything. And he was known as you know, obviously he was known as the biggest alim of the time, and people respected him and they made him the vice chancellor of the university. What did he do? After some time, he resigned his job and he disappeared. He said, where did he go? He became a janitor in the Jamia Masjid in Damascus. For how long? 2 years. He left the position of the vice chancellor of the Jamia Nizamiya and became a sweeper, a janitor in the masjid for 2 years. They asked him, what is this insanity? You leave this great position and you are sweeping the masjid? He said, yes. He said, because inside me I was dead. He said, inside me I was dead. My heart was dead. All of this pomp and splendor and, you know, position and the great alim and 4 people walking behind him and 4 people walking ahead of him. He said, all of this was destroying me inside. So I have to do this in order to rekindle my heart, in order to for the life of my heart. This is the solution. Somewhere we have forgotten the whole issue of tazkiyah has gone down the drain, and that's the reason why for many of us knowledge becomes a wabal. It becomes a big fitna. We learn knowledge and then what do we do with this knowledge? We go around criticizing people. I mean, you are better than jahil. Because if this is what knowledge does, if knowledge results in arrogance, if knowledge results in looking down on somebody, if knowledge results in breaking hearts, in dividing people and creating divisions in the ummah, then it was better that you did not have this knowledge. Enough to do your faraid and so on. But if you had never learnt anything, you were a better man, because at least you were not creating fitra. You are not doing all of this kind of negative stuff. Now, because you learnt ilm, or you learnt what you think is ilm, because that's not ilm. The ilm does not misguide. But why does that happen? Because there is no tazkiyah. It is like taking a seed, a very beautiful seed, very fertile and you know, highly, very high quality seed, but throwing it onto a rock, or throwing it into ground which is hard and full of thorns and everything else. That seed cannot germinate. Even if it germinates, it will die. Because the soil is not prepared to accept the seed. Any farmer knows that if he wants the seed to germinate and he wants that seed to produce a good harvest, then before planting the seed, he has to work on that soil. He has to clean the soil, he has to make it friable, he has to break up the clods and the hard earth and remove the rocks and the stones and the thorns and get the soil ready to accept the seed. And then he plants the seed. And then what does he do? He waters the seed. 3 steps. Prepares the soil, plants the seed, waters the seed. Tazkiyatun nafs. And then husul of ilm, and then standing in the night and watering that seed, the tears of your eyes. Standing in the night and crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying, Ya Allah, this is your ilm, it will not come unless you give it. It will not come unless you give it. Please forget, get this thing out of your mind that you can pick up the kalam of Allah, you can pick up the Quran and you can memorize it, and therefore you are a hafiz Quran. Though you are not a hafiz of Quran until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that Quran to you. You can memorize it, no problem. The words will be there. The ruh of the words, the spirit of the words will never come. That has to come from Allah. The fahm of the Quran, the ta'wil of the Quran, the understanding of the Quran, not the words. Understanding is what? I'm not talking about tafsir, I'm talking about inside your heart, you know what it is. That has to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah does not give it if that heart is full of filth, If that heart is full of all kinds of stuff which is not worthy of the kalam of Allah Jalla Wala. I remind myself and you, let us make a lot of dua. Let us utilize this time. You have taken all the time and effort. You have come from different distant lands. You have left your homes and families to do, for what? Only for this. You came here only so that your and my heart can be opened to the glory and majesty of Allah Jalla Wala. So let us make full use of that. Don't spend your time sleeping in your bed. Get out, come out, come here. Pray tahajjud, listen to whatever is being said, reflect on it, think, make notes, make this effort. It's 5 days, man. Out of 1 day is gone already. Today is the second day. Right? As I told you, 5 days itself is a joke if you really look at it, because this is not what the Salaf did. But today we are trying to do the best that we can do given whatever circumstances we have. So let us make the best use of that. You owe it to yourself. You made the effort to come all of this. You owe it to yourself. Don't shortchange yourself. And believe me, you are not shortchanging anybody. That's why I never criticize somebody if he doesn't turn up in the class or comes late. No problem. It's your life. This is what you choose to do. You want to spend the money, come all this way, and then you want to sleep in your bed? La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Why should I object? No problem for me. But inshallah, you will never find me late for the class. I know I am here. And I am not going to shortchange myself. Even if there is no one, I'll talk to the chairs. And that is what I invite you to do. Please do not shortchange yourself. You came here. Inshallah al-Mustan, I give you my complete promise. And I know that our Ustad, Mufti Zubair Bayat, will also do his entire best. And I mean, Allah bless him. Beautiful lesson we had last night. But his best and my best is no good if you are not there. You physically, at least you have to be there. If you are not there, what's, you know. So please, ensure that you come on time, that you stay, and you stay aware. Not just warm bodies. The heart, the mind, reflection, making notes. Very important for us, inshallah. Amen. Shall we all agree, inshallah, we'll do this, yes? Inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with all of you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open your hearts to His nur and to open your hearts to the understanding of His kalam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put the love of his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your hearts, such that you love and you seek out His sunnah. Not just something which is told to you. You go look for it. And how did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do this? How did he do this? How did he do that? And then we follow the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because there is noor in the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There is beautiful barakah in the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.